Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
About four Sundays ago, up here during praise and worship, right at the end of praise and worship, the Spirit was moving in the church and folks were standing to their feet and they were praying, and God was moving on people and He was moving on me. And he began to speak something into my spirit concerning some verses in the Word, and I began to rehearse those verses in my mind and thinking about the story, and then He started showing me something about the story that I hadn't never really thought of in that context before, and I'm going to read some of that story to you this morning to start. And it's found in Luke chapter 15, and it's the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, if you will, as it's been called so many times. And we all know that story so well about how the youngest son came to his father and he said, "Father, give me my inheritance. Give me what I've got coming to me." Some folks think they've got stuff coming to them that ain't coming to them. And that's not part of the message. That's just free. Won't charge you nothing for that. But he said, "Give me what I got coming to me." And the Bible says that the father divided his wealth amongst both of his sons. And in those days, the eldest of the sons always got a double portion. So the oldest son got twice as much as the youngest son. Then the youngest son took his wealth, and the Bible says he went out and he squandered it, and he wound up, once he wasted all of his money, all of his friends were gone. It's amazing how quick that can happen, run out of cash and see who wants to go hanging out with you after that. But he had squandered everything, and he got to the point, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. And I was telling them Tuesday night, this is the same message I preached Tuesday night, by the way. He came to himself, and I was telling him Tuesday night, I've preached from this so many times, I've got all kinds of notes scribbled in my Bible, but right at that particular place I had wrote, "Get a grip." And sometimes that's what we need to do as Christians, is just get a grip. Sometimes we lose hold. Sometimes we lose hold of the things that we've got. We lose hold of the things that God's given us. And we allow Satan just to get us in a place where we're so confused and so out of touch with what God's doing. And sometimes, folks, we just need to get a grip. That ain't the sermon either. The Bible says he finally came to himself. Starting in verse 18, says, "And I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, he didn't say nothing to his son. You hear that? He said, "I'm just going to go tell my father I ain't even worthy to be your son anymore." And before he could get to that part, his father had done ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't even get to the part to say, I'm not worthy to be your son, before his father done got to him and embraced him, done had compassion on him. Let me tell you something. You know, when you run to God and you think to yourself, "I'm not worthy," just remember, God don't look at you like you look at you. That's free too. But the father said to the servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and clothes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Father, I thank you today, God, for your spirit that we feel in this house. And God, I pray today, Lord, that as we expound on your word, God, that you would allow me, God, to put this word forth, God, as you have poured it into my heart, God, that I leave nothing out. And God, that people here would be changed by the word that they hear today. God, that their hearts would be open, their minds would be open, their spirit would be open to receive from you today. God, you've told your church today to be in expectation. And God, I pray that people are sitting here today in expectation of your word, of your feeding of their spirit, Lord. We just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I told you I was going to be preaching on faith and expectation, so I guess I ought to get to some faith part here, huh? Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, said, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, when we talk about faith this morning, we read that first verse. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, when we think about that in the human term, and one of the pictures that I always get in my mind when I think of the word hope, when we hope for something, I get a picture of a little kid. And he's in a little store with his mama or his daddy or whatever, and they walk up to the counter, and you know, I don't know, today everything's just right down where the kids can get their hands in them. That's why you're in the store going, leave that alone, get out of that. What's the matter with you? Put that back. You walked out of the store without paying for that. Oh, y'all don't do that. Anyway, back in the day when you walked up to the counter, it was a glass counter and kids couldn't reach and grab everything. And there was always the big bowls up on the counter. And the little kid would get a hold of the counter and he's looking like this. And he's thinking, boy, I hope I get a piece of candy. I hope I get a piece of candy. And that's what I think of when I think of hoping for something. Like a little kid hopes that he'll get a piece of candy. Or he goes to grandma's house and he can barely reach the counter and he's looking up there and going, boy, I hope I get one of them fresh cookies. But that's not what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about our hope in Jesus Christ. It's our certainty. Do you understand that? Our hope in Christ is our certainty. It's the thing that we can rest assured of. You hear me? If your hope is in God's word, trust me, folks, you can rest assured in this word. You can rest assured in this word. The evidence of things not seen. Well, what is evidence if it's not seen? If you can't see it, how can it be evidence? I was telling them Tuesday night, you know, if I went to court to testify for somebody and I said, I know they didn't do it and I got proof of it. Well, where is it? Well, I don't have it with me. Well, if the judge don't see that evidence and the lawyers don't see that evidence and the folks sitting on the jury don't see that evidence, it ain't much evidence, is it? The evidence of things not seen. That scripture is talking about the thing that you're hoping for in Jesus Christ and things that you can't see with your natural eye. Evidence of things not seen with your natural eye. Do you understand that this morning? It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, if it ain't seen, how can it be evidence? If you are in Christ Jesus this morning, and you're praying for something, and you're expecting something from God, you better be able to see it in your spirit. That's what I'm talking about this morning. We need to get to a place where we're seeing things in our spirit, where we're able to visualize the thing that God says you can have. Now, somebody might be going, well, where's he going, outer space with this or what? I just want you to understand this morning that the Lord wants his church to be in a place so that when we pray, we are praying in expectation. So many times we say we're praying in faith, believing, but we walk away knowing that things are exactly like they were before you started praying, so you really don't expect them to change very much. Well, it didn't happen automatically while I was down there at the altar, so I don't think it's going to change when I leave this place. You know, I didn't automatically get healed and my arm come out of that cast and So, you know, I really don't think it's good. We got to learn to look at things by faith. We got to learn to look at things the way God sees them, because God doesn't see them the way we see them. The Bible says His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Whew. I'm glad of that, brother. Whew. But our objective should always be to be more and more like Him, to get to where we think like God thinks, where we move like God moves. We need to, I want you to think of yourself, no, I'm going to let that go, I'll come back to it later. I started to get ahead of myself. I want to talk to you a little bit about some expectation this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. Talking about seeing things the way God sees them. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we all know this story, or most of us probably do, the story of Elisha and his servant. And the Syrians were about to go to war against Israel. The king of Syria was making a plan of attack, and he was going to attack Israel. And his goal then, just like many in the Middle East is now, their goal was to wipe Israel out. And they had made a plan of attack. And the servant of the Lord, Elisha, if you read the story, the Bible tells you that Elisha went right straight to the king of Israel and told him what the Syrian king's plan was. And I'm telling you the story so we don't have to read it all, just to save time. But the king of Syria, when things went awry, he called all of his people together. He said, I want to know just who it is in my company that's turned against me. I want to know who it is that's going over there and telling that king everything that I've said and everything that I've thought. How come he knows our plan already before we get there? And somebody spoke up and said, because there's a man of God in Israel and he's reading your mail, king. He knows what you've got on your mind. He knows what's coming out of your mouth. He understands what you're thinking, and he's going straight to the king of Israel and telling him, because he's a man of God. There's something about that man that's different than every other man you've dealt with, king, and he knows what's going on. So the king of Syria gets some men together, and he said, I want you to go out and spy out. I want you to find out where this fella is, because I'm going to go get him. You know, does that make sense to you? King, he knows everything you're thinking. He knows everything you say. He knows exactly what you're going to do. But you want to go get him? Okay, we'll do what you say, king. So they go and spy out the land, and they find out where he's at. And the king gathers his armies together. And I was going to start in verse 15, but I want to start in verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter, where did I say I was at? Chapter 6. Excuse me. Verse 14 says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. The king of Syria brought his army, and the Bible specifically says that he brought the horses and the chariots. And what you have to understand in those days, if you had horses and chariots in your army, it was like having battle tanks today. He was bringing the best he had. I'm going to get this dude one way or another. I'm going to take the best I've got, and I'm going to destroy this fella. And the Bible says they came by night, and they compassed the city where he was at. They compassed everything around. And Elisha and his servant was on a hill. And verse 15 says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Oh, my goodness. Master, look. Do you see what I see? Do you see it like I see it, master? How many times do we do that when we pray? Lord Jesus, do you see my situation? Do you see what I'm looking at? Do you see how bad my finances are today? Lord, can you see this? Do you see what my health is like? Do you see what my family members are doing? God, can you see how my children are running away? Can you see all of these problems I have, Lord? Is that not what we do? Jesus, can you see my problems? Master, look at this. We're surrounded. You ever feel surrounded? There's been times I felt surrounded. And there ain't nothing I can do, but you know, you just say, Lord, you're either going to fight this battle or I'm going to die right here. This is it. And this is exactly what this servant was looking at here. He turned around and he looked at his servant, or his master. He said, alas, my master, how shall we do? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to make this problem go away? Well, let me tell you something. You can't do it on your own. And this servant was standing up here going, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to do nothing. Excuse me? There's horses, there's chariots, there's the big army down there. He didn't send the little guys. He brought the big army. Do you understand, Master? What are we going to do? And he answered, speaking of Elisha, he answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Huh? What? Master, I don't know what you're seeing behind the rocks, but I don't see nothing. There ain't nothing up here but me and you, Master. What are we going to do? Elisha says, wait a minute. There's more than that be with us than that be with them. Really? That ain't what I see, Master. And the Master says, that's because you ain't seeing right. Hear me this morning. You cannot overcome those things if you learn to see right. I'm not talking about cleaning your glasses. I've cleaned mine about 4 times this morning. It ain't done no good yet. I think they still got paint on them from the week. And Elisha prayed. Woo, what a difference prayer makes. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Now, wait a minute now. Remember what he's looking at. He's still looking down there at the same army that was there when he started. When he woke up and got the old, as one old boy told me earlier this week, get the eye boogers. Get the eye boogers out your eye. And he goes over and he looks, and he's like, I'd rather be back in bed. Said, but the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire right round about Elisha. Now he understood. Elisha said, there's more with us than there are with him, and our army's a whole lot bigger. Remember what I told you. When they sent the horses and the chariots, they were sending the very best that they had. When God sends the horses and chariots of fire of heaven, he sent the very best he's got to defend you and destroy your enemies and to overcome those things that have held you down and drug you down and the devil's tried to push you under and plant you in the ground. And God says, I ain't gonna have no part of it. I've got an army that can deliver you from those things. Can you imagine what this servant was thinking now? Woo! Looky here. Yeah. I'm running with the big boys now. Yeah. I'm running with the big boys. He looks around and now he sees God's army. Now he's beginning to see things like Elisha sees them. You see, Elisha was the man of God. When Elisha spoke, it was as though God himself was speaking, because that's how he spoke to Israel at that time. Not to individual people, but he spoke to Israel through his prophets. And today God wants to tell you that if he says you can do it, you can do it. If he says you've got victory, you've got victory. You just need to learn to see it with your spiritual eyes. See it the way God sees it. you know what? I see that big old financial problem out there. That ain't what God sees. God sees a big financial miracle out there. Well, you know, I've been facing this health problem for a long time. God sees a place where he's about to get some glory. Man, I've been fighting this battle for so long, I don't know if I can fight it any longer. God just sees a place for victory, for God to be glorified and lifted up so that people around you are encouraged. You got to see things the way God sees them. Well, that's pretty hard to do. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But how did Elisha do it? The Bible says he prayed. It ain't rocket science, folks. It's being in touch with God. You know, there's people that I've known in my lifetime over the past, well, Friday was my birthday. I'm 52 now. So over the past 52 years, I've known a lot of people. But a lot of those people I could talk to on the phone today and I wouldn't recognize them for nothing because I hadn't kept in contact with them. I hadn't kept in communication with them. Elisha kept in communication with God. So when God says there's more with you than there are against you, Elisha knew exactly what he was talking about. Pray. Stay in contact with God so that when he speaks to you, when he tries to show you something, you're able to see, you recognize his voice. Maybe it's been so long since you talked to God, he don't recognize your voice. Whew, I better go on with that. That wasn't part of the sermon. I better leave that alone. What'd you say, Pastor? Good preaching. We got to see things the way God sees them. Sometimes we, you know, the pastor was talking last Sunday, and one of the things he mentioned was back in the day they used to call it praying through. And we kind of hear that term and we chuckle. But you know what? We still need to pray through. When you come to the altar with your problem and you pray and you cry a while and you get up and you walk away with that same problem. And understand, I'm not telling you that everything disappears at the altar. But if you ain't left it at the altar and you take it home with you, there ain't nothing happened at all. Other than you've cried a lot. We got to walk away from that altar knowing that we prayed through to victory. Knowing that when we look over that mountain, it's not our troubles that we're going to see, but it's the army of God that stands there to protect us and defend us. That's what we got to see. The Bible says that all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. Not maybe. Well, come back next week and let's see how it goes. Let's pray about this next week and see. And don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you don't pray twice over a problem. That ain't what I'm saying. That's a whole nother sermon, so let's don't go there. It's okay. Now I want to go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Going to read just a little bit about David here. David had spent many years, you know, last Sunday, a pastor was talking about David when he slew Goliath and he picked up the 5 stones, you know. Even before that had happened, David had already been anointed as king over Israel. But that hadn't taken place yet. He was still just a young lad. But he had already had the anointing of God on his life. And he goes and he slew the giant. Now we're years ahead of that. And it had got to the point to where David had run to the Philistines. He went to the Philistines. And he you know, these were the people that had been fighting for years. Remember, it was the Philistine giant that he slew back there with that stone. And now he has taken himself into the land of the Philistines and appears to have joined himself to their army, him and his men. And what he was doing while he was over there, he was running secret missions to destroy people that were against Israel, to destroy people when the Philistines wasn't looking. He was on the inside of their camp, if you will. And the Bible says that he had taken residence, him and his men, in a place called Ziklag. And one day when they were out with the Philistines preparing to go to war against Israel, there was some of the leaders were kind of afraid, well, David might turn on us during this war. So you send him back home, him and his men. And the Bible says him and his men left and headed back toward Ziklag. See how much of this I want to read. Let's start in verse 1, chapter 30. Trying to watch the time here. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were brokenhearted. Boy, they come home and their homes were burned. The area of Ziklag had been burned to the ground and everything was gone. There wasn't even a dog left in the camp. They took everything. All of it was gone. And they cried till they just couldn't cry no more. And David's two wives were taken captives, and I'm not going to say their names again. Verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, because I really mangled those up Tuesday night. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. These same men that were willing to fight with David in battle, follow him anywhere he wanted to go, now they were talking about stoning him. They were thinking of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. These men were so tore up inside. And you know, if we ain't careful, we'll get into situations that just seem to tear our world inside out. And before we know it, we're doing everything except what God wants us to do. We're doing everything except what we know to do. You know, the pastor said earlier when he was up here praying a while ago, and just about prayed my whole message there. While he was up here praying, he was talking about it. You know, if you don't feel like praising God, praise God anyway. Do it out of faith because you know God hears you. Know who you are in God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. God, I love you. Regardless of what the situation is here, Lord, I love you. Regardless of what I'm going through here, Lord, I love you. You know, sometimes you lose. Sometimes you lose things in battle. You just do. Sometimes you lose because you make decisions that you shouldn't have made. See, if you go back and read this whole story, God never told David to go to the Philistines. God never told David to go to Ziklag. He made that choice on his own. Sometimes we make choices that cost us. But when we discover the cost and we begin to pray to God and we begin to ask God for answers, God will bring you back to where you need to be. He's just waiting for you to speak to him. Just speak to me. Talk to me. The Lord says, just talk to me. I'm listening. Do you understand that? I'm listening. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? What should I do, Lord? You know, sometimes we've got to come to the realization of why we're in the place we're in. And we got to go to God with honesty. Lord, what should I do now? God, I understand why I'm here. Because I wasn't listening in the first place. I understand why I'm here, God, because I didn't ask you to start with. You can get yourself in trouble. You know, we talk about following God's will. Well, guess what? You got to follow God's will tomorrow just like you do today. Because when you don't, you'll find yourself in places you should have never been to start with. And David says, Lord, I've praised you now. And now I'm just asking for your direction. God, what should I do? Should I go after these people? Should I go fight this battle? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? Well, let me tell you something. Regardless of what it is, God never wants you to lose. God never wants you to lose. See, another thing that Pastor said when he was praying, I mean, he almost preached my message. God wants to give his children good gifts. That's what his word says. And the things that he's gave you, he don't want the enemy to take them away from you. When that happens, it happens because of our own choices. Well, I better get off that. That gets awful quiet, don't it? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. David prayed and God answered him. Do you understand that when you pray, God hears you? The Bible says he knows what you have need of before you can even think or ask. God hears you, and he will answer you. He answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, Tuesday night when I preached this message, I sung that little song, I went to the enemy's camp, and I'm not going to try to sing it this morning. Come on, Pastor. But that's what we can do. We stay in touch with God, and we go take back what the devil's taken from us. Because God has no intention of you losing. Are you hear what I'm saying this morning? We need to see things through the Spirit of God. You know, a lot of times when I'm praying before I preach a message or before I teach Sunday school or something, when I'm praying, I say the phrase, and it's not out of habit, it's because I mean it. Lord, let them leave here different than the way they came. That's what the Spirit of God ought to do for us. That's what the Word of God ought to do for us. We need to be able to glean something from the Word. How do we do that? By coming into this house every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night with the expectation that the pastor was talking about, you're going to receive something from God today. Boy, I like this ramp. You don't have to worry about tripping over steps. Just up. Pastor said he almost run down it last week. But I was telling them to be able to see things through the Spirit like God sees them. We have to be in contact with that Spirit. We have to be in a place where that Spirit can move and work through us. And the only way that can happen is if we stay close to God. And he can show you things. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can actually show you things in your mind that you can see that's coming down the road? I've had it happen to me, and it's boy, the first time it happened to me, it blowed my mind. I was like, I was going up to my dad's church. I was going to go up there and preach a weekend revival for him. And I remember before the revival, I was praying every night when I was at home, Lord God, just let your Spirit move. Let your Holy Spirit have its way. And 2 weeks before I went up there, I was laying in bed one night and I had the most vivid dream that I was in my dad's church. And in my dad's church, he had two chairs sitting over on this side. And he was always sitting in one of them. And if there was a guest speaker, they were sitting beside him, or somebody else might have been sitting there. But in this dream, we were sitting in those two chairs, and I saw this young man that got up and began to dance in the Spirit. And when I woke up from that dream, I had the most awesome assurance from God that the Spirit of God was going to move in that revival. And he allowed me to see that in my dream. And then I got there, and that first night that we had the revival, that Friday night, I remember as the as the service was going on and I got up to preach, when I stood up to preach, you know, I thought this vision that I had was just proof that the Spirit was going to move, and I believe with all my heart it was. But I saw that very same young man that I had never seen before in my life. He was sitting on this church, this side of the church, about four rows back, sitting there at the edge of the at the seat. I hadn't told anybody about this dream, not even my wife. After church, Friday night, I didn't get a chance to talk to that boy, and Saturday night, he didn't show up for church. Still, I didn't say anything to anybody about this vision that I'd had or about this boy. Saturday night, there was a storm came there in Kentucky, and it snowed, as we say around here, like a big dog. And most every church in town closed. And, you know, somebody said, well, you know, we may not have nobody Sunday morning. And Dad said, with all them other churches closed, we might have a bigger crowd we've had in a long time. And you know what? Sunday morning, we had a mighty big crowd. There was people there from other churches that normally wouldn't darken the door of that Pentecostal church. But they were determined they were going to go to church somewhere, and that one was open, so they come on in and sit down. And when I got up there at front and I was sitting down and the praise and worship was going on, and I looked out there and I seen that boy. And I began to feel the Lord moving on me. And I knew I was going to have to confront this young man. And that's something I normally just don't do. If I come and confront you, it's because God told me to. Trust me. When I stood up to preach, I asked people, and remember, there's people there that had never been in this church before, and you know, didn't have a whole lot of things to think about Pentecost, you know what I'm saying? But I stood up and I asked the question. I said, I want you to raise your hand this morning. I want you to answer this question. How many of you in this place are willing to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord this morning? People all over the room raised their hands. Now, there was a few of those visitors that didn't. They thought this man was just crazy, you know. But that young boy, Aunt, raised his hand. And I just felt in my spirit that he was going to have to do that before I confronted him. Now, this confrontation, it wasn't a rough confrontation. God just wanted to show this boy something. And so when everybody put their hand down, I told him this story about this dream that I had. And I said, the person that was in that dream is here this morning. And I began to walk down the aisle just looking around at people talking. And when I got to that young man, I reached over and I grabbed him by the hand, and he just began to shake like lightning was going through his body. And right at that very moment, I understood exactly what God wanted to show that young man. He wanted to show him what it felt like to walk in the anointing. And I said, God wants you to walk with me this morning, because he wants you. I felt the anointing on me so strong. And when that young man stood up, I turned around and just started walking with him. And he followed me up to the front of the church. And I wasn't looking at him. I just had him by the hand. And I was speaking in tongues. I was praying. I'm thinking, Lord God, whatever it is you're going to do with this young man, it's all you. And right now, I'm just looking like the fellow leading the horse, you know. And people told me, as that young man come toward the front, his body was shaking so violently, it looked like he wasn't even walking. He was just kind of floating through the air as he was following me. Not only did God confirm to me that his spirit was going to move in that service, but he allowed this young man to see what it felt. I believe God's got a calling on that young man to do something. I don't know what. But God wanted him to understand what it felt like to walk in the anointing. I'm going to tell you something. When you get around people that are anointed, it'll get on you. It'll rub off on you. You know what I'm saying? It'll rub off. I like to get around Brother Steve and let some of his anointing just rub off on me. Uh-oh, his wife laughed out loud. I don't know what that means. You know why it's so important to be with people that are under the anointing? Because when you don't have what it takes to touch God, you can surround yourself with people that do. That's why when you come into through troubles and difficulties and trials, the first thing the devil tries to do is separate you from the church. I just don't feel like it today. I think I'll just stay home today. Well, I'll tell you what, I feel so bad. And you know, sometimes we do dumb stuff. You ever do dumb stuff? Sometimes we do dumb stuff and we think, man, if I go to that church, somebody's going to know. And the devil will convince us the best thing for you to do is just stay home. No, the best thing for you to do is get just as close to God's people as you can possibly get. Because the Bible says for us to lift one another up in our most holy faith. And you can't do that by sitting at home in a corner by yourself somewhere in the dark. If you can't see things the way God sees them, get with somebody else that can. Because somebody's got to get a vision that the answer's coming down the road. We got to get back to this father and his son. I want you to understand that when this father's son was gone away, this father never stopped loving his son. He loved his son the whole time. There's things missing in our lives sometimes that we wish we could get back. Oh, God, if I could just get back to that place. God, if I could. See, I want you to put yourself in the father's shoes this morning. Hear me. And this was what I was talking about, that I'd never seen this in that light, because we'd always seen this message and we'd always preached this message as the father representing God and the son being that wayward Christian that comes back to God. And that's the truth of that message. But there's more to it than that. You need to look at that message this morning as you being the father. And there's something that you've had a lot of investment in that has gone. Oh, God. Lord, I know I messed up. And I know my calling's way back down the road now. And God, I know you may never use me that way again. But God, if I can just get a little closer to you. Been there, done that. I said, Lord, you might not never let me preach again, but if I could just feel your love again, if I could just feel your spirit again. But you see, when I came back to God, that wasn't enough for God. God fell on me and he kissed me and he said, you're still my son. He put the robe of righteousness back on my feet, or on my back. You understand what I'm saying this morning? We got to see things the way God sees them. I didn't see myself worthy. This son didn't see himself worthy. But this father says, you're still worthy. I want you to understand this morning that those things that you've lost, the Bible says this father went out one day, and I can just imagine he's going about his daily chores. He's doing his daily thing. And one day he goes out, and the Bible says he sees his son not at the gate. He didn't see his son at the gate. He didn't see his son walking up on the steps of the porch. That ain't what he seen. The Bible says he seen him afar off. And he ran to him and he fell on him and he kissed his neck. Let me tell you something, this boy wasn't coming home looking like he did when he left. But the father ran to him anyway. And he says, I see the answer to my prayer far off. Are you hearing me this morning? Put yourself in the father's shoes, and I'm asking you, what is the thing that Satan has taken away from you that you've been praying about? What is the thing that's missing in your life and you want it back? You need to start looking afar off and begin to look through the Spirit and say, the Spirit of the Lord is showing it to me. I see it coming down the road. Woo, Lord. I don't know if I can do that. Then you get down on your knees and you begin to pray like David. Oh, God, just show me what you want me to do. Show me what I need to do. And God said, you go take back everything that's yours. And God will give you the power and the authority and the anointing to step back into the enemy's camp. The Bible says they went to the enemy's camp and they recovered all. There was nothing lost. Do you hear me this morning? I'm going to tell you, God said, David, you go get them and you will recover all. David didn't intend to go back there and not bring his children home. David didn't intend to go back there and not bring his wives home. He didn't intend to go back there and his men leave anything behind, because God said you'll recover all. If we can begin to see things the way God sees them and understand the way God thinks and the way God feels about you and I, we'll get a whole lot further in this world. We'll have a whole lot more victory over the enemy, because God sees you victorious. He doesn't see you down. He doesn't see you being put under. He sees you being lifted up. He doesn't see you sick because he's your healer. He doesn't see you broke because he's your provider. He doesn't see you doing without, because all the gates of heaven are open to you, and the Bible says everything in heaven belongs to you this morning. See things the way God sees them this morning, church. Oh, glory to God. Oh, why? Why, Lord, would you send such a message as this to this church? I'm going to tell you, there's some folks in here that are praying folks. There's some folks in here that's got some faith. But you know, there's times when faith gets shaky. There's times when things get rough and we kind of lose our expectation. Pastor said something last week about when Mike had had his accident. And there was times when we thought just maybe he wouldn't make it. But God had done said he was going to. And sometimes we lose sight of what God sees. Mike, you'll never know how glad I am that you're sitting up here behind that organ this morning. But I'm not satisfied with that. Because see, since that time, I've had to ask God to forgive me for those thoughts that I've had about maybe he wouldn't make it. And there's been a couple of times I've seen Mike walking up these steps since then. And I know there's going to come a day when he walks up those steps, and instead of going over there to that little keyboard, he's going to walk back over here to this great big music box he's got. You know, I can remember time and time again how we've set up there during praise and worship, and I've elbowed Jeannie and go, look at that. And Mike's got them big old feet, and I don't know how he does it. What them big old feet? They're so big he can't wear his shoes when he plays. He has to go without his shoes. And he's got them feet going 90 miles an hour over all them pedals, and as wide as his feet is, I don't see how he keeps from hitting at least three pedals at one time. But he does it. And guess what? I'm going to see that again, because I know in my spirit that God is the answer, that God is the healer, and that he is going to walk again. There's no doubt in my mind. We got to begin to see things the way God sees them. We got to begin to see things the way God sees them. And I know, like I said a while ago, I know there's people in here that have faith. And there's people in here that come to church with expectation. But just think if everybody came that way. Just think if everybody got to that place. I was telling them in Sunday school this morning, I've had people ask me, do you have to go to church every time doors are open? I'm afraid I'll miss something if I don't. You know, I hate it when I'm sick and can't come and afraid I'm going to share something with somebody. I don't want nobody to catch what I got. I'm afraid something's going to happen. I ain't going to be there to see it. Somebody might be filled with the Holy Ghost and I ain't there to celebrate with them. Somebody might get healed and I ain't there to glorify God with them. Yeah, I want to be here. I want to be here. I don't want to miss what God's doing. I don't want to miss what God's doing. But the whole crux of the matter, folks, if I can use that phrase, that's what the old folks, the whole crux of the matter. Never really understood what it meant, but maybe somebody explain it to me one day. The church in general needs to get to the place, not just this church, I'm talking about the church in general, the church of Jesus Christ around the world, where we get to the place where we see things the way God sees them. And God has said to me time and time again, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Folks, if you don't see things the way God sees them, you won't see it coming. You won't see it. Oh, wait a minute. We can see it coming? You better believe we can see it coming. That way the Bible says no man know the hour or the day. I didn't tell you what time he was going to be here. I just told you he's coming. But let me tell you what the Bible does say. The Bible says that those of us that know the Lord and read his word, you got to keep in contact. You'll know the seasons. You'll be able to see things coming to pass that the word talks about. And you know that the end, they've been saying it since I was a little bitty boy. My daddy's been a preacher since 1955. I've heard it all my life. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Well, let me tell you something. He's closer today than he was back in 1955. You read your word. The Middle East is on fire. There's about to be an explosion that the world can't contain. And all of that energy is going to go somewhere. And according to the word of God, it's going to go against Israel. And when it happens, you better be listening for a trumpet to sound. Why do we need to see things the way God sees them? Because he's put warnings in our word that'll take us out of our trouble. He's put warnings in our word that'll give us victory over our finances. He's put a direction in his word how we can overcome sickness. He's put direction in his word how we can overcome all things. But the main thing is he's put direction in his word to make sure that you can get to heaven and not miss the call. And if you're one of those that believe you're going to go through the tribulation, I'll see you on the second load. I'm going out on the first. I didn't have to say that. What are you praying for this morning? What's your heart's desire this morning? See, what I want you to know this morning is that's important to God. That's important to God, and whatever that situation is, he's got the answer. And I'm not telling you that if you come up here with prayer for prayer, that problem's going to disappear. I'm telling you, if you'll pray and get close to God, he'll allow you to see the victory before it ever arrives. You'll be able to see it afar off and say, I can hang on because I see it coming. I can hang on. There's a girl that used to go to church over where I was pastor, and she'd sing this song, There's an Answer Coming Down That Dusty Road. I'd have me a shouting fit every time she sung that song, because I could just think of situations and problems and answers that God was sending our way, and all you had to do was look for them. But you got to see them through spiritual eyes. You got to see things that are unseeable with a human eye. You've got to take it by faith and expect it by faith, knowing that God's going to do the thing he's going to do that you've asked for. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe he can answer your prayers this morning? I don't know if I can feel the victory or not. Then you probably won't. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You ever had to apologize for something you said, Pastor? Nah. He said, yeah. Shook his head knowing and said, yeah. Yeah. Have you got something that you're praying for this morning and you say, you know, I just don't see the victory? It's time to pray till you do see the victory. As the pastor said, maybe it's time to pray through. Maybe it's time to pray through to that point of faith where you say, you know what, I see that answer coming. I see that answer coming. See, this father had no doubt in his mind the condition of his son. If you read that story, you'll see at the end where the older brother comes out, and he was angry because he was having a party for the younger brother that went out and squandered it all. The father said, this thy brother was dead and is alive forevermore. Those things, oh, my Lord. Those things that the devil has told you that is no good. Those things that the devil has told you God ain't going to do for you. Those things that the devil has told you is destroyed and gone and there's nothing you can do about them. God says, I can bring them home. I can deliver them to you today. You just got to learn to see it through the Spirit. See it through the eyes of Christ. Let's see it like God sees it. Y'all stand with me. I'm going to try to quit. Glory to God. If you're here this morning and you need some clarity from God in the Spirit, I want you to make your way to the front. Say, you know what, I fought this battle so long and I know God can do it. I just need to know it in my spirit. I just need to know it in my spirit. It's one thing to know it in your mind, but let's know it in our spirit. Let's know it in here. The thing that controls us inside. You know what? I don't have to be fearful no more because I know God's got this. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry about that bill. I don't have to worry about this disease. I don't want to have to worry about this sickness because I know God's got this. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. 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 God wants you to see things like He sees them this morning. God wants you to know that you're the head and not the tail. You're the victor today. God says you're the victor, not me. God says, read His word. God says you're the victor. God says He'll make you victorious. God says He'll make you victorious. Do you need a win today? You say, this is the day that I just need a win. God, I just need to know that I'm on the right side of this thing this morning. I need victory today. If you want to come up here and pray at this altar, come up here and pray. If you want me to pray for you, just come up here and stand and I'll be glad to. Me and the pastor will anoint you and pray for you. And as Brother Bill's coming this morning, y'all give him a round of applause. I'm so glad to see him out of the hospital. We was so excited this morning when he come back into our Sunday school class. You know, sometimes people just don't understand what it means when they're not at church. You don't understand how we miss you and how what a void you feel. And Brother Bill's the same way. We were so glad to see him come in this morning. Anybody else before we begin to pray? Brother's broke his arm. She wants to stand in for him. We'll pray for him. Anybody else before we begin to pray? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you feel the need to step out, go right ahead. Consider yourself dismissed. But those that are up here, we're going to pray with them as long as they want to pray. If you want to stay and pray with us, you're welcome to do that. If you want to stay where you're at and just stretch your hand this way, that's okay too. But folks, we're going to begin to see things the way God sees them. God says we're victorious, and we're going to be victorious. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Okay. I know I probably praise the Lord for me being here, but the message that Brother Doug just gave, I know the whole church was praying for me, and I knew with your prayers God would heal me. And I knew that you guys were waiting for me to come back. And I thank all of you. Praise God.